back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the only motorcycle podcast that matters.
This number 60.
Number 60, right. And the person who is able to count all the way up to two digits is Ed Sorbo. You can find him on
We've been in the two digits since number 10.
I'm so proud of you for being able to keep not only double digits, but keep them in the roughly the order that they come in.
Arabic numbers.
Arabic numbers. Well, you know what? I'm telling you, man.
The Roman numerals were a pain in the ass, weren't they?
remember that whole scene from...
They weren't even numbers. They were letters.
Do you remember the whole scene from Monty Python's Life of Brian where it's like, okay, other than...
Yes, you talked about that before.
Exactly.
It's on Deep Thinking.
The one thing that we don't want from the Romans is their numbers and their numbering system. He's Ed Sorbo from Lindemann Engineering. You can find him on the web at le-suspension.com. And I am Michael Gugis. You can find my rantings on the web at motorbikeroadracing.blogspot.com.
You need a new name for that.
I'm going to actually...
You can't even pronounce it.
I want to have it converted from a blog to a website. Because I want to start doing something completely unrelated. Well, not completely unrelated.
You have
unrelated
to spend money on the website.
Yeah,
have
I know.
To spend a lot, but a little bit.
I know. I'm going to call what's his face, you know, and do that. It's actually, you know what? I've taken a different approach with the stuff on the blog lately. It's like I don't want to do something every day, and I don't want to comment on stuff that everybody else knows. So I try to work something different. Like the World Superbike review that I did, I got a lot of positive feedback on that. I got a lot of hits on that production racer thing, which was really sort of surprising to me, because let's face it, it's a pretty niche kind of topic, and it's and a lot of people really don't care. Which leads me to the first thing I want to talk about, Ed. Are you listening?
Ed, are you here with me? I'm here with you,
Ed. We've been begging our listeners to send us an Aprilia. Okay.
Yes.
Nobody has responded yet. And I figured out why. It's because we're not asking for the right Aprilia.
You forgot. We're going to cover that in the next show.
Our plan is wrong. Our plan is wrong. Here's what we're doing wrong, Ed. We're not asking for an expensive enough motorcycle.
Oh, okay.
See, everybody is waiting for somebody else to go, give them the $100 pile of, you know, bucket project bike, right? No, we need some crazy, and listen, please listen carefully. We need some crazy rich person to listen to my plan. When I was doing my research for the Prodi Racer thing, did you see the link to the Aprilia's website?
No.
That I posted in the final version, Aprilia has a production World Superbike, okay? No lights, no turn signal, built to the letter of the law for World Superbike. It comes with Ohlins front and rear, no ABS because that's not legal, their frontline electronics package with preloaded software and preloaded maps and everything. And it has what it's called adaptive traction control. And here's how badly they want to sell it to you. If you pull up the PDF with all the specs on this thing, it's got the guy's name that you need to talk to. It's got his phone number. It says we need a 20% deposit up front. Contact us here. Adaptive traction control means the bike looks at what you're doing and then adjusts its maps to make you go faster. And as we know, Aprilia has this...
That's what the title says it does. We'll have to wait and see.
Aprilia has this thing where you can use your smartphone to upload your data to the factory, and it will send back settings for, okay, this is what you're doing. What you need to do is set your bike this way, and then you'll go faster. My fear is if I get this bike, okay, I'm going to ride it a couple of sessions. I'm going to upload my data. An hour later...
They're going to come collect the bike.
We can't.
You didn't even use half throttle. Get the hell out of here. Those stickers back.
Or what's going to happen is like one guy in a car from Aprilia is going to show up and he's going to look at the bike, and every place it says Aprilia, he's going to put a Ducati sticker over it.
So
79,500 euros. If you have that kind of money just laying around and you want the everlasting love and adoration of Deep Thinking, call us. Call us. Give us a jingle. We're here.
Michael doesn't need that bike.
We're here. No, I don't need it, but I don't... You know what? I don't need...
So I was appalled and surprised.
I don't need a five-way with the Pussycat Dolls either, but I'd really like one.
Heard that you would die.
It would take hours to pry the grin off my face. Doc is so like, wow, GP he's completely updated empty. Their
rules this year.
Yes.
And they made an adjustment to how they do their penalty point and a few other things, and it was all fun. And they have rule, and they get rules now for rider gear,
right?
And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
No, isn't that yeah?
Every club in the world, has all of them, right? The Hawaii Road Race Association had rules about gear when I started riding with them, right? We only had to add like, okay, now you have to use a back protector,
right?
And that became upgrade the snell requirement for the helmet as the chain,
right?
MotoGP didn't have rules until now
for a back protector.
Can't fucking believe it.
Absolutely.
So that leads to this question, and I'm glad they finally fixed it. Now, of course, in their case, most of those guys were smart enough to run the best shit they could.
Right, anyway. Exactly. They've been using airbags for 5 years, airbag suits. Exactly, right. But it was funny.
It's
somebody
a little different from
somebody
the
posted on one forum I read, this release kind of reads like, new rule, must wear a helmet.
Yeah.
You know, it's got about the same emotional response. Like, huh?
So this leads to my question. You sent me this press release from the Isle of Man TT dudes.
Right.
And they're all, that they're changing their super sport rules to be in line with World and BBS and whatever.
But they're, they're not.
Duh.
But they're actually not. With the one of the things that they are going to do is to make it in line with British Superbike regulations. It means that there's no traction control, no wheelie control, none of the electronic rider aids. And if there is one course on this planet that you want traction and wheelie control.
Well, yeah, but those guys are as far away from wanting help on anything as any kind of racer could be, right?
You're right, exactly.
Well,
what do I need runoff room
you
for?
You can be wicked fast, right?
Right.
But if you're still, right, you know, the speed, once you know the course, the speed number doesn't matter as much.
No, what I'm
saying. They're trying not to spin all the time, and so they're riding below, and so then... They probably wouldn't use the traction control very much.
What?
Except for the part where you get into the area in the shade and there happens to be wet leaves there.
This is my
and
point.
And then you suddenly need to think.
Yeah.
But again, those guys would argue, I know where the shady parts are.
Right.
Like if you go get that video we mentioned a couple times, V for Victory, a lap with Joey Dunlop, you know, you're bombing along in the sunshine going 3 million miles an hour and then he's talking about the shady part that's coming up. And then there's a little bit of slowing down, and then all of a sudden you're going 20.
Yeah.
In the if you don't know in advance, no electrics are going to help you. So what was the point of sending me this?
The point is that, you know, I get the idea that they want to make bikes simpler.
Michael
that
just
they,
likes cutting and pasting.
They don't want to. No, I like to send Ed reading assignments.
There you go.
I get the point where everybody
Professor
wants to make
Park
bikes simpler, you know, all the other crap. But, you know, at a certain point, the whole anti-technology thing really simply just puts riders at risk. And that's the thing that bugs me about it. You've added to the risk. I just did it 10 years ago.
You know what, though? Their rule is only kit ECUs. But nowadays, kit ECUs
The kit ECUs for British Superbike, no rider aids.
Okay.
None.
Well, neither of us are racing there.
I know. But I just did it 10 years ago for Road Racing World. And it was 1 year with Jeremy had a project CBR 1000. And he was injured, so he couldn't go ride. And
check this out.
Hold on, let me finish.
Hurry up.
So I'm getting it. Hey, my tape recorder.
My batteries.
That's true. So I'm burning your batteries in my recorder. He went over there. He took John Hayner. He took John Hayner to the as the rider. And you know, Hayner's like his first session is. What was his quote? There's more room in my house than on Macau to ride a motorcycle. And I live in a little bitty house. 2 days later, French rider, can't remember his name, dies in, you know, the morning practice session. It's just like, you know, that just seems so unnecessary. I get that it's dangerous. Why make it more so? That's my whole point. Next topic.
Connected to rider aids.
Mm-hmm. Is that Aprilia that you guys need to buy for us here at Deep Thinking?
So... Somebody posted on Facebook a picture of a R1 that had cartwheeled when it crashed at Chuckwalla.
Okay.
Now, when you're judging if a crash was big or small,
cartwheeling
how much damage the bike gets is sometimes, but not always, a reflection of the speed.
Right.
You could have a low speed crash and the thing happens to catch the wrong way.
Right.
And flip two times.
Right.
And look way worse than normal.
Absolutely.
And I've seen bikes
Wayne
just
Gardner.
Stay
we
on one side and just slide for a fucking mile.
Right.
And have scratches.
Right.
Like it fell over in a parking
even
lot.
Even though it crashed at 150.
So, but this got me thinking.
Uh-oh.
How are electronic rider aids, which are useful and successful,
right,
going to change the crashing? In other words, we're going to have less small crashes and more crashes that are so big even the electronics couldn't save it.
Mm,
I guess that's the question, and we need to. A race organization that has their shit together
mm-hmm.
is recording their crashes, how
right.
many they get at what corners. Now it's hard to have details of the crash,
right?
But people in those situations who are able to see lots of the crashes
mm.
should be able to notice a trend.
Right.
And say, yeah, you know, we do have less slow crashes in our slowest corner. But man, when we got crashes now, those bikes are just wasted, which would be a strong indicator that, you know, the electronics
right.
are saving the small ones. So, I don't know, it might be cheaper to run your old bike and crash at low
speed.
Well,
it's always cheaper to run your old bike and crash that. I think what you'll probably see is overall less of an impact on the machinery, less damage on the machines, because I think with
I'm saying it's the other way around.
But I'm saying, and believe it or not, Ed, I'm saying you're wrong. Okay, I know it's gonna hurt, but here's what I think. Okay, the what is that?
My phone.
Oh,
it's Christ. A business day, dude.
Oh God, I left mine in the van.
Yeah.
I think what you're likely to see is fewer high sides, and generally you do see fewer high sides, which are the ones that probably are going to be more damaging to the machine. Whereas low sides, which you're more likely to see, are usually a little less damaging to rider and bike. Which reminds me, Wayne Gardner.
Okay, so you're saying you think the killer electronics will protect the wheel spin high sides,
yeah.
but can't save the guy from tucking the front end.
That's kind of my thing.
And a front end is usually a low side, at least it starts that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then what I was getting at, though, was that the electronics would save the lower speed crashes and wouldn't
right.
be able to save the higher speed when there's enough energy. But you're right, it's a good point about the wheel spin versus front tuck.
Right.
And so anyway, we can expect to see some kind of change as there's more and
right.
more better electronics, but we
speaking
can't
of change
what it
and
is.
Wayne Gardner. Okay, it's off season. I gotta find my racing somehow. Somebody has a YouTube channel devoted to old Australian motorsports. So I'm watching a race at is it Eastern Creek? No,
there is a track called Eastern Creek.
No, it's a place called Surfer's Paradise.
Okay.
It's the old
dangerous track.
Oh
yes.
My God! So Wayne Gardner is there. A company called Swan Insurance does a 3-round series, 2 legs each, $50,000 prize to anybody who can win all 6 races. Gardner shows up on a V4 Honda. This is like 1985, right? He's ready to smoke the field. A guy named Malcolm Campbell is chasing him on one of the old 3-cylinder Hondas. And the track eats Gardner's rear tire.
The track ate his tire.
Yeah, the track
it wasn't
his tire.
Gardner's fault.
No, not his fault at all. Okay.
Remember that track day, people. You can blame
exactly.
it on the track.
Absolutely. Oh, please. We got the list of excuses. Campbell gets by him. Gardner's chasing him. Gardner crashes in the fastest corner of the track, misses the barrier, and goes into a ditch. And you look, he's sliding, right? He's sliding, and all of a sudden he just disappears off the freaking screen. I'm like, oh my God, there's like this ditch 10 feet off the track, big enough
Aston
to eat the
used
bike.
To be like that.
Oh,
Aston.
Christ,
Aston.
That's just, it was like, oh my God. But speaking of which, this gets us to the thing we were talking about before we started recording. Crazy hot chick, stupid stuff at the racetrack. There were only like 10 or 12 bikes in this one particular race. So what they did just before they dropped the green flag, a line of hoochies in front of the bike, and when like the board goes to like 5 seconds, all the hoochies go woo, marching through the grid, and the minute they get behind the bikes, they turn around and wave, and then the race starts with Uchi standing behind the bikes. I'm not sure that was the most enlightened period of our time, but it doesn't look bad on video now. That's all I'm saying. Next.
He cracks himself up all the time.
No, dude. In my head,
so
it's
we
like
got
Disneyland.
We got an email from possibly our number one fan, Rick Crespo.
What up, Rick?
And so while Mike starts opening the package that Rick Crespo sent us.
Oh, crap. He taped the shit out of
here,
this thing.
We have sharp on
No, I got it.
I will go talk about some of his questions.
I'm not allowed
to. Do that quietly.
I'm not allowed to touch sharp objects.
Rick mentioned when I was talking about turning your brain on for pro fast guys. We were talking about Stoner, and I was saying he would be able to come back.
Woohoo!
So
t-shirts.
Rick sent us t-shirts.
Rick, you rock. Here you go.
Black and white shirts.
All right.
Moto
Ooh.
Elite.
Yeah.
Nice looking shirts.
Nice
Thank
quality.
You,
Thank you, Rick. This is not. Look at this one. It's got the paint drip motorcycle on it. That's pretty cool. That's rather artistic.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, so the question was.
Thank you,
can
Rick.
You talk more about turning your brain on.
Yes.
So, that's a tough one.
Yeah, because you never do
it's
it.
It's different for everybody, right?
I can start to answer that question while you think about, because I've turned my brain on while you're still warming yours up. Yours is still idling, coming up to temperature.
You want a race?
What? You want a race?
Uh-huh.
Ah,
yeah,
dude,
okay.
The race is already over. I've won. Mm-hmm. I've kicked your butt and you don't even know it yet, dude. Here's what I, when I read that phrase, turning my brain on.
You didn't read it. You heard it from me first. He wrote it.
Okay, fine. Yeah. He wrote it. He read it. Whatever. What was I going to say? Right. I think of practice. I think that's why you practice, and that's why you try to ride as many laps as you can during practice. It's simply acclimating to speed, allowing you to focus on the track and getting used to your reference points again.
This is why you're such a good partner for me in these shows.
What do you mean?
Because once again, you presented the average no-brain answer.
No.
And now I can set me up to give you the fast guy answer.
Thank you. This is the club racer, and I'm a club racer. Yeah. I'm never going to be a pro.
So what Michael's talking about is a process by which he goes on to get his brain up to speed and thinking along in the racing way, as opposed to the normal everyday life, commuting to work, doing the thing that you do normally, et cetera.
I find if I spend just a little while on the track, a couple of sessions, I find that I'm not thinking, like you said, I'm not thinking about the outside world, but my perception of the track actually changes.
Yes.
It's no longer about seeing the cones going into a corner for braking markers. It's about seeing those little patches on the pavement where there's an oil drip or a tire. Okay, I can brake here.
Yep. And so we're in agreement with what turning your brain on means.
Yes.
So the question is, how do you turn your brain on?
I think it's practice, but go ahead.
That's the way everybody does it, right? They go to their first race and they go out on the, or their first track day, and they go on the track with normal brain,
right.
And they gradually learn to get into race brain.
Right.
Okay? And it's the same in every single sport.
Right.
Right? You know, runners, you know, whatever. There's a certain mindset you need to perform at your best.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, the stick and ball game sports, they have various warm-up exercises and all these things to get you up to speed.
Before you answer, I wanted to add one other part to mine. What I'm talking about is changing your ability to attend to the important details.
Yeah, you're changing your perception,
changing
your
literally
focus.
Are, the term we use in communication is attending. I am now attending to things that I was not able to perceive before. And because I'm attending to different things, my brain responds differently.
So once you have figured out
that was genius right
how,
there.
What it is you want your brain to do.
Right.
You then remember that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And with some practice, you get to where you can just turn it on whenever you want to.
Right.
And you can do this as a practice, just like we talked about the eyeball exercises.
Right. Or
you
the stopwatch exercise.
At work doing some mindless task. And you can turn part of your brain on to race mode and do a lap in your head or whatever. You can do exercises. Your brain can be exercised just like any muscle can
Absolutely.
Be. And if you don't exercise it, then you don't have the... So that's the thing that a pro racer does. There's a certain time when they need race brain on and they turn it on. And then they go do that thing. And they turn it on just like that. They just say, okay, race mode on. Click. Right?
Now, when
go ahead. There's another part to it. There's turning that off.
Yes.
When you get, and you watch people come off the racetrack and they're going 3 trillion miles an hour
through
the
pits.
Then they get busted for speeding and they go, well, what do you mean? I was going slow. Dude, you were in third gear on the rev limiter. Right? Their brain was still in the on mode. And so you need to learn to turn it off. And especially if you want to be a pro, when you get to the podium, you have to control your mouth, right? And you can see the guys who are good at that and the guys who aren't yet,
right?
And so it's just like anything else, you need to exercise it. The specific what you are thinking about will be different for each person.
Right.
The general categories will be how far ahead you're looking.
Yes.
How far ahead you're thinking.
Right.
What you're thinking about. Uh-huh. The detail that you're thinking about.
I like, and I like using reference points for that. The level,
you know,
of detail.
Reference points are like the entry level thing. Let me give you a detail. Most people think, don't step on that.
I'm not gonna.
Most people think about, you know, okay, this is where I start braking.
Dude,
okay?
I look good in this shirt.
Yes, you do. But you need to think about not only where you apply the brakes, but how you apply the brakes.
Yes.
Right? The most common thing that people do on braking and they don't do well enough is they got a good braking marker and they start braking, but they just reach out and grab the brakes and hold a set amount of pressure.
Right.
You need to be increasing, you need to squeeze the brakes, not grab, and then you need to be increasing the pressure the entire time you're slowing down, because the more weight you transfer to the front of the bike,
the more
brakes you can use.
Right, without locking the wheel.
Exactly. And so those are some of the highlights of turning your brain on.
That's why people squeeze the brake lever rather than just bang it on.
Well, the smart people do.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're at 20 minutes.
Right.
We need a two-minute board.
I got one.
Okay, go.
Ready? Mark Marquez's fan club, not going to Mugello this year. Not going to have a presence. You know why? Threats from the Valentino Rossi fan club and an inability for security at the track to reassure them that they'll be safe. Isn't that pathetic?
Well, it's pathetic on the Rossi fan club side.
Yeah, that's
it's
what I mean.
Reality on the side of the security. They know there's too many crazy Rossi. It'd be like, it's like the soccer hooligan crowd problem, right? It's a real problem. You got to deal with it. And when you have a mob, people can get killed even when there's no punches.
Oh, yeah.
They're crushing.
Right.
Yeah, that is pathetic on the side of a Rossi fan. And, you know, that's true in any sport, in any...
I know.
If you're one of those people, you're an idiot, and we'd hope you leave our sport. We would be better off with 50% less fans than to have any of those kind of people.
We live in Southern California. We still have Raiders, the people walking around with Raiders t-shirts. I guess they're bringing a new NFL team to LA.
Yeah.
And it's not the Raiders.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah,
oh,
that's fine.
God.
You're happy to be, you know, fervent about your you know, but when it gets to threats, then that's totally wrong, right? It's supposed to be like any other sport. You play the game, you try as hard as you can, and then you all shake hands afterwards.
I mentioned I was doing my 10 years ago. I was doing some of them for the magazine yesterday. Anthony Gobert briefly had a ride in World Super Sport. Not the 600s, the super bikes. You know, got to his pits on Sunday morning, and his crew chief was sitting there. And the crew chief said, did you change the handlebars on the bike? And he said, no, why? And the crew chief showed him the handlebars had been moved, so at full lock, his bars would have hit the tank.
I'm surprised that a world-level team would leave their bike out.
You can't watch it all the time. You can't watch it all the time.
Yeah, you can.
Well, what else had happened? The rear shock setting had been altered, and his steering damper had been screwed all the way in.
I raced a bike on a team, and my clickers were changed overnight.
Really?
Yeah. It took me half the session to figure out what was going on. You're not thinking of that.
Right, of course not. You're not looking.
Yeah, so, you know, being a bad human being is bad, and karma's going to get you. Man, I just saw a thing about karma. I wish I could remember what the example was. It was classic.
Was it the cat video with the guy that kicked the cat on the... God, that one was genius.
Anyway, if you're... Right? You love the guy that you love and support him and all that stuff.
Right?
As soon as you go to violence, like...
Exactly.
Like the PETA folks, right? I love them, but when they start burning down research centers, that's wrong.
Exactly.
No matter how wrong the thing is, if you're just making it more wrong.
If you're that fan, go watch NASCAR.
No, don't. No. Don't be that fan.
Oh, well, that's asking a little much.
Yeah.
That's asking a little much from human beings, and that's why we've invented NASCAR.
No, don't. Now, see, now you're picking on another sport, which, by the way, makes more money than our sport.
Oh, my God.
Okay. He's Michael Gugis.
He's Ed Sorbo. Aloha. Oh.